The reading today is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, and this is on page 1052 of your Bibles. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get the justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" This is the word of the Lord.
Ruth, thank you very much for reading that to us. And please, everyone, do keep your Bibles open at that page, Luke chapter 18, because we start this afternoon a three-sermon series on prayer. And we're beginning with this parable in Luke's Gospel, because it underlines why, as a church, we seek to know Christ and make Christ known here in Maidenhead and the surrounding area. A dependent prayer is one of our kind of three essentials. As a church, essential that we are, as we were thinking about earlier in the prayers, faithful to and governed by the teaching of the Bible. It's essential that we're a community, that we love one another, we look out for each other, but we must also be characterized by dependent prayer. And that final point is driven home by this parable that Jesus told, recorded in Luke's Gospel. So let's pray now. Oh, gracious God and Father, we thank you for this time we have to consider that parable of the Lord Jesus. And we ask that we would be those who pray and don't give up. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I mean, it's very easy for a preacher to know what this parable is about. It is there in verse 1. Jesus tells us what it's about. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray. Not sometimes pray. Not pray when they just feel like it. But they should always pray and not give up. And I don't know about you, but straight away I find that a huge encouragement. Because the Lord Jesus Christ knows and recognizes that we will struggle in this task of prayer. That one of the things will be that we will stop praying. We'll be tempted to stop praying. But Jesus, in his mercy and kindness, has given us this parable to empower us to be consistent prayers. Now, this section really begins in chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus is being quizzed by some Pharisees about the coming of God's kingdom. When will it come, they ask. But Jesus actually doesn't satisfy their curiosity. Instead, what he does, he tells them how one day he will return as God's ruling king. It won't be like his first coming, which only a few people, Mary, Joseph, some shepherds, the Magi, knew about. Everybody will know about it. Verse 24, it will be like lightning. You can't miss it. You know when there's a flash of lightning? You know, you automatically, wherever you are, your head turns towards it. Well, it'll be like that. And on that day, when Jesus returns, a great division will take place. Verse 34, I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. Two people will be in the office. Two people will be shopping at Sainsbury's. One will be taken, the other left. So the big question we're left with at the end of chapter 17 is, when Jesus returns, who's going to be taken to heaven with Jesus, and who's going to be left behind for judgment? And actually, the whole of chapter 18 is taken up with Jesus' answer. You see, in chapter 18, we're given some of the hallmarks of believers, those who are waiting and ready for Jesus' return. And this first parable tells us that one of the marks of believers is that they will be people who pray. And to encourage his disciples to be persistent prayers, Jesus told this parable about an unjust judge and a helpless widow. Now, I've got two headings for us this afternoon. And they're very straightforward, indeed. And the first is this. God is not like an unjust judge. He's not like the unjust judge. Now, we're used to watching legal dramas on the box. Well, the scene for this drama is laid out for us in verse 2, where we're introduced to the judge. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. I know that Ian's been to court a few times. I don't know whether other people have been to court. But I won't get you to put up your hand. It might be embarrassing. But if you have, you may have noticed on the wall behind the judge a royal crest, and on the crest there's a judicial description in French, which is... Oh, wait, sorry. I thought... Dieu et mon droit, which translates God and my right. A very good inscription to have in a courtroom. Because justice is all about God's standards and the individual's need. Those are the two things which a judge ought to be focusing on. Right and wrong, as God determines it, and the individual's needs. But this judge, verse 2, neither feared God nor cared about men. What a disaster to have a judge who doesn't care about justice. Locals who brought cases to the court for arbitration groaned when they saw that this judge was sitting on the bench. They knew that they wouldn't get a fair look in. And then in verse 3, we're introduced to the second character in our drama. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." Again, like the judge, we don't know much about her except that she's a widow and that there is a dispute in which she has been wronged. But the judge isn't interested in hearing her case. It was a trifling matter that didn't concern him. And this widow was a nuisance, so he dismissed her out of hand. He couldn't care less. But this widow is persistent, and day after day she came to court and presents her case. When the judge arrives, she's there. When he leaves, she is still there, crying out for justice. Day after day, he ignores her, but then suddenly there's a breakthrough. The judge finally gives in, and the plaintive widow wins her case. The judge has had enough. He can't take any more of her, and you can sense his frustration in verse 4. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And it's his words that give his character away. He is totally self-obsessed. His character is godless, and his only motive is self-interest. It's even more striking in the original. Literally says, "I'll see that she gets justice so she won't eventually give me a black eye." I don't think that Jesus is suggesting that the judge is worried that the widow will kind of hit him with her handbag. It's more a case that she has so worn him out with her pleading that he's got become black bags under his eyes. And the point Jesus wants us to grasp is that God is not like that unjust judge. It's the contrast he wants us to see. He explicitly says it there in verse 6. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Now, I take it that Jesus speaks about an unjust judge because he's worried that he finally and perfectly when Jesus the King returns. The other day, I sent off an email to somebody, but I never received a reply. I have to say, I got quite agitated because the email I sent was quite important. Why hasn't the person replied? And it's very easy to think of prayer like that. Why hasn't God answered? Is it that I haven't got through? Is it because I've done something wrong? Why is the delay in God answering my prayers? And Jesus is promising here that God will grant his people vindication and justice. And quickly. It is quickly going to come when Jesus returns. But God can't put all wrong right yet. Because Jesus hasn't yet returned to this world as king. The New Testament makes that abundantly clear that the only reason for the delay is to give the world an opportunity to repent. Because when God does come to put all wrong right, he will do it properly. He will punish all sin and evil in the world and establish a world of perfect justice. And in the meantime, as Christian people, we wait for Jesus our King, being about his business, often enduring hardship, but calling on him to return, to vindicate us, to grant us his perfect justice. So that's the first point. God is not like an unjust judge. And so we come to the second point that Jesus wants us to understand, which is this. The Christian is not like the desolate widow. Now, if this parable was ever televised, the director would make it a real tearjerker. See, here's the sad story of a lonely, helpless widow with no status before a judge who is heartless enough not to be bothered. And she really is desolate. She had no husband to look out for her, and it appears no children. There was no protection or financial support. That is why she is so desperate to receive justice. No one else is looking out for her. There's no social security, no state earnings-related pension. She is alone. She has no standing before this judge at all. Justice is on her side, but what is good is that before a judge who is unjust? But look how the Christian is described in verse 7. We're not desolate. We are God's chosen ones. You see, the New Testament is clear that we become God's people not because we have chosen him, but because he has chosen us. God is a God who picks his own people for his own reasons and makes them his treasured possession, his beloved children. The Bible is equally clear that the kingdom of God is open to anyone who will trust in Jesus. But Jesus reminds his disciples that God's people are a chosen people to bolster their assurance. When we pray, we can pray with absolute confidence that God is interested in us. He's chosen us to belong to him, to be his children. God will answer the prayers of his people who cry out to him day and night. He will. He has to, Because far from being an unjust judge, God is a loving Father who will honor his name by keeping his chosen people. So, those are just two simple points for us this afternoon. God is not like an unjust judge. Christians are not like this desolate widow. But this parable Jesus told doesn't end with a note of confidence, but actually, do you notice it, with a note of challenge. It's almost as if Jesus can imagine the sorts of things that will be going through our mind tomorrow morning. Does it really matter if I persist in prayer? You see, I get so distracted. I find it so tough. There's so much going on. You know, I've got to be in the office at 8 tomorrow. I got a full thing of meetings. And then I get back and then there's the kids and then, oh, I just need to relax. He knows. Life is so busy, especially during term time, and term has just started. Does it really matter that I make time to pray today? And the answer is, yes, it does. It does matter. In fact, nothing could matter more. Look at the end of verse 8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And it's quite surprising, that, isn't it? It's a surprising way to end the parable, given that we begin in verse 1 with encouragement to pray. We'd expect Jesus to say, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find prayer, his people praying? But he doesn't. He says, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? Why is that? Well, it's because persistent prayer is a key characteristic of genuine faith. When Jesus returns in glory to judge the world and to rescue and vindicate his people, will he find us living as real believers? And one of the ways he will know whether we are real believers is whether we are praying and keeping on praying. Heartfelt, persistent prayer is the hallmark of a true and living faith. It's not that God judges us by our prayers or accepts us by how prayerful we are. Please get that right. No, it's simply that my prayer life will demonstrate where my trust is. And if I'm not praying persistently, then clearly whatever my faith is in, it's not in God. But it's a wonderful thought, but if we are praying, however kind of foolish and bad and sometimes a little disciplined we think we are about it, if we are praying, and actually that's a wonderful encouragement, isn't it? Why are we praying? Why do we pray? Because actually, we believe and trust the one to whom we're praying. It may well be, if we're honest, that some of us have given up praying. Actually, we don't pray as we ought to because we've drifted so far from God. Can I say, if that is you, if that is me, our motivation to change actually lies in what we see in this parable. Actually, none of us need to go away in despair. We don't need to go away and give up. No, we just need to come back to the simple Christian message. In Jesus, God offers us forgiveness and a fresh start. We simply need to acknowledge our weakness and to rely on the mercy and grace that God gives to all who trust in his Son. You see, many Christian paperbacks on prayer would have followed verse 1 with a whole host of do's and don'ts on prayer. Now, helpful tips do have their place, and we can learn from other people's experience of prayer. But actually, a list of do's and don'ts and endless examples of other people praying will could just lead us to kind of guilt and despair. You know, when I hear stories of people who kind of prayed 3 hours before breakfast, I think, I marvel that they did it, but I feel like, I couldn't do that. But Jesus, when he wants to teach his disciples to pray and not give up, motivates them by what? By reminding them of the character of God and of their status before God. Jesus tells them, he tells us the gospel. He says, don't you see that you are God's chosen people? He loves you. Don't you see that he cares for you? He's not an unjust judge. Because when we are gripped by these truths, when we have understood what God is like and who we are before God, then that will fuel our faith, which will in turn be expressed in persistent prayer. So while the application of this afternoon's sermon is pray, I mean, it's there for you in verse 1. You know, we know what the Lord Jesus wants us to do, don't we? The Lord Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Okay, if ever you think, do I need to bother about prayer? Remember verse 1. The answer is, yes, you do. We do. It is important. We need to be people who pray and don't give up. And when we find that we have, well, let's focus our thinking about the character of God. God is not like the unjust judge, and we are not like the desolate widow. And if we think about that, the character of God, and in Jesus, our status before God, we are his chosen ones. He is our Father. Well, then I think we shall find that we long to pray. I think it's just we have a moment of quiet now. Okay? 5 minutes? Can we do 5 minutes? Are you happy to be just quiet for 5 minutes? I think it's a good thing to do. Try not to nod off. But why don't we, in these 5 minutes, just silently use it to pray, to open our hearts as children before their Heavenly Father.